From Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Today we're talking with David Commande, conductor and artistic director of the Heartland Festival Orchestra. He's here to tell us more about the orchestra's 10th season, which kicks off on September 15th with acclaimed violinist Rachel Barton Pine. David, welcome back to Out and About.
So glad to be here.
Well, we're so excited to talk about season number 10 and specifically this opening concert. Rachel Barton Pine has been described as a boundary-defying performer, one who displays power and confidence that puts her at the top of her echelon. How excited are you to have her back to perform with the orchestra?
Well, I've been looking forward to this concert for a couple of years, actually, since Rachel was last here to play the Beethoven Violin Concerto. And in fact, when Rachel, during that visit, she gave a masterclass at Youth Music Illinois. And she mentioned in the middle of the masterclass, well, you know, I particularly love the Brahms Violin Concerto. Mm-hmm. And there and then I told the world that Rachel would be back for the Brahms.
You made a promise.
Yes, and this is fulfilling the promise.
I'm wondering what it was about her performance 2 years ago, her visit to Peoria 2 years ago that struck you. What sort of impression did she leave you with that made you so willing to bring her back so quickly?
The greatest artists connect in ways that are hard to define. But everybody gets it when they're in the room listening to these artists. And Rachel is one of those. You know, we experienced that, of course, with people like Yo-Yo and Itzhak and Josh Bell or whatever. But Rachel really is right up there. It's not as simple as mere technical ability. It has to do with how the notes are connected. It has to do with the depth of the music making. She also has an amazing sound. Anybody that... She has a great Guarneri violin, which you get next to, and you just cannot believe the beauty and the power of the sound. And then, having said, it's not just technique. Her technique is beyond you can't exceed it practically. She is astonishing. So she connects, and she also connects off of the stage. Last time she was here, we made a trip to Washington High School, and it was astonishing to see how she connected with those young people. She'll be doing a similar thing this year. And the greatest artists are communicators, and that's what Rachel's all about.
The piece you're having her perform is the Brahms Violin Concerto, and you know, this is one of probably the four or five great concertos for that instrument. You're a string player yourself. What insight do you have into what makes this piece stand out?
Well, Brahms is Brahms. And for me, my connection to Brahms started very young when I first worked as a young cellist on the E minor cello sonata, the first of the two. There is something about the melodic beauty and the spiritual depth of Brahms that sings through the instrument. It's hard to compare. But in this violin concerto, we have an eloquence. Brahms totally tests the boundaries, speaking of boundaries, the limits of what a violin can do. He was himself, of course, a pianist, but he worked with his friend Joseph Joachim, who was the greatest violin virtuoso of the time. And Joachim, you know, they sent letters back and forth working on the concerto. And Joachim would say, well, this is not possible, maestro. And Brahms would go ahead and leave it in there anyway. And so Joachim contributed the cadenza for the first movement. But Brahms pretty much had by the time, you know, his mid-40s, by then he knew where he was at. He knew what he wanted to do. And he had consulted with Joachim, and then they went ahead and he tested what could be done, and we know it can be done beautifully.
Last year, you finished off the ninth season with Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, and you've decided to move on to the next symphony cycle with Brahms Symphony No. 1. Can you tell us about just the progression of Beethoven to Brahms?
Well, in my mind, I thought, as I first imagined, well, what will succeed Beethoven's nine symphonies? I thought, well, Beethoven's 10th. The fact is that Brahms first was known as Beethoven's 10th. Hans von Bülow nicknamed it that long ago. Von Bülow, the great conductor, virtuoso of his time, of Brahms' time. So that was a natural. But to get into the ways that Brahms took it forward, more than we can do in this interview, there are ways that Brahms takes his melodies and takes motives, small pieces of those melodies, and develops them and works them through that is directly related to what Beethoven did in his symphonies. Also, the First Symphony is a direct homage to Beethoven. It has qualities. It's in C minor like Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. This yatatatam, yatatata is one of the themes of Brahms' symphony, but of course that's that triple note, four-note motive is at the heart of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. And once again, you have C minor resolving in the end to triumphant C major, which is what Brahms' First Symphony is about. So there are very deep and extensive reasons why Brahms' First can be considered Beethoven's Ninth. And of course, since I adore these symphonies so much, why not go on this way?
And I understand that for Brahms, this was a 14-year process in the making.
It was. In fact, you know, I mentioned mid-40s. The fact is that the symphony came out in 1876, and Brahms was 42, about to turn 43. But Brahms had hit the big time, so to speak. He became famous scarcely over the age of 20 when actually Joachim introduced Brahms to Robert Schumann. And Robert Schumann, the composer, was also the best-known music critic of the time. He was writing regular articles in the newspaper for music. And Schumann had he embarrassed, he put Brahms on the spot. By having met Brahms and looked through some of his music, he wrote this quote, "The one chosen to express the most exalted spirit of the times in an ideal manner, one who sprang fully armed from the head of Jove, a youth at whose cradle the graces and heroes of old stood guard," referring to Brahms, "has arrived." And Brahms, wet behind the ears, still green, 20 years old, you know, he wrote respectfully to Schumann, "Thank you, thank you, I think." But Brahms was incredibly self-critical, and the idea of approaching a symphony and the significance of the history of the symphony was incredibly daunting to Brahms. And so first of all, 9 years went by before he even started on that 14-year period of writing the First Symphony, and he had to practice at it. He wrote a couple of serenades for full orchestra, which are kind of symphonies on training wheels, but they don't have the same connotations of weight and importance. It's like writing short stories compared to a novel or a novella before approaching the novel. His first piano concerto can be considered a symphonic work, and there was the Brahms Requiem, the German Requiem. So he just had incredible respect and sense of responsibility of composing a symphony. And when people bother him about it, he said, "You cannot imagine what it is like," and this is virtually a quote, "what it is like for one of our kind to hear the footsteps of a giant like Beethoven treading behind us." And the fascinating thing is that the timpani strokes, ding, pom, 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 at the beginning of Brahms' First Symphony, in my mind, represent those very footsteps.
You know, I remember someone telling me years ago, it might even have been you, David, that for a lot of composers, a symphony is like an autobiography. You can learn so much about a composer, particularly through the symphonies that they compose. So what is it about Brahms that we learn from his First Symphony?
It's a great question. I'm not sure if words are, you know, as a musician, to me, it's incredibly eloquent. But to me, the one of the magics of the art form of music is that a work of music can be so eloquent and speak to every one of us, but the message is unique within each one of us. So, you know, I could throw adjectives or associations in my mind with this symphony or the work of Brahms, and that would be fine and it would be truthful and sincere. It's hard to put words on it that I think are going to always describe other people's experience of Brahms. Some people find it very serious. Other people will talk about the the soaring melodies. Other people will talk about the harmonies. It is just brilliant. It is brilliant.
In addition to Rachel Barton Pine, you've invited some other fan favorites back for season 10. Can you talk us through some of the other surprises that we can expect to see this season?
We're so happy to be embarking on season 10. And as part of the sense of occasion of a 10th season, I wanted to invite some of our favorite soloists of recent seasons. So in addition to Rachel Barton Pine, we have Jason Vio, the Grammy Award-winning guitarist, coming back, in fact, next month in October. And he will also be playing some Rodrigo next month, as he did the first visit. And we're wrapping up the season with Michael Brown playing the Tchaikovsky First Piano Concerto. So that's kind of our triple play on favorite friends coming back this season. And then in between, we have some things which are traditional, some things which are entirely new. A New Year's greeting is always a very fun program. This one has a very powerful jazz element this time because it's a tribute to Ella Fitzgerald, the First Lady of Song. We have two amazing vocal soloists coming in to cover some of her best-known favorites. Then in March, Cherish the Ladies, which is this American-Irish-Irish-American group playing traditional Irish music as well as bringing dance to our stage. And that's going to be on St. Paddy's Eve, Saturday in March. And then in April, we have an amazing, and this is new to us. We're doing something we called Heartland Portraits, which is photo choreography, which is to say, while we play selected music, there will be three immense screens, not just our single video screen, three immense screens across the stage onto which are projected imagery, photographic images, which are timed to match the music by the photo choreographer, Nicholas Bardinet of Westwater Arts. And this I have selected Symphony to the Prairie Farm, which is by American composer Steve Heitzig. It has some qualities not unlike Aaron Copland. And in fact, the whole program has a very strong American flavor. We do have some Copland. We also have a tuba concerto by Michael Dougherty called Reflections on the Mississippi. But back to Heartland Portraits, the imagery is actually going to be images submitted by Illinoisans, by people from our community. And they will be selected by Mr. Bardinet, but we're open to submissions through December 2nd. Jen, I think you know a little bit about how people can submit images, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. They can submit both at heartlandfestivalorchestra.org as well as at artspartners.net under the For Artists tab that we have there. And what I love about this collaboration is not only are you pairing music with visual arts, which always enhances an experience, but you're also giving a platform for visual artists that are based in Illinois. How did you decide to take that approach?
That was organic to us, I would say, because, you know, the theme of our first 9 seasons has been thanking and celebrating our community through our community partnerships. And when I had the idea of the photo choreography and became aware that Westwater Arts already had this possibility of working with images from a community, I thought, that's what does it for me. This is what I want to do.
And for every concert, the HFO selects a community partner to spotlight. Your partner for this concert is the organization Pause Giving Independence. What can you tell us about this group?
Well, these are service dogs who are trained particularly to assist people with various kinds of disabilities. And that assistance can be spiritual or obviously quite practical in terms of taking care of things that need to be done for people with their service dogs. So it's a great service.
We've been talking with David Commande from the Heartland Festival Orchestra. Their 10th season begins next weekend with a concert that includes music of Johannes Brahms and guest artist Rachel Barton Pine. That performance is September 15th at 7:30 at Five Points, Washington. David, thank you again for being with us.
Thank you.
And Studios on Sheridan presents the Hot Chow 5 exhibit, opening tonight as part of their First Friday studio event. The works of over 30 local artists from the Central Illinois Artist Organization will be on display, And the opening reception will also include refreshments and live music from 5 to 9 p.m. tonight at Studios on Sheridan.
And Eastlight Theater is presenting the musical Disenchanted. It's a musical review that pokes fun at the Disney princesses we all know so well. Some of the material is intended for older audiences. That production opens tonight and continues through next Sunday at the East Peoria High School Theater.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.